The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, water parks are a growing trend. On university campuses. On public university campuses. Gives a whole new feeling to the name of the lazy rivers, doesn't it? Campus. Let the irony of a lazy river on a college campus sink in for a moment, because this is what higher education has come to. From a student perspective, awesome. I mean, who doesn't want the lazy river at their school and a splash park? Of course, it's going to be a selling point for, you know, all the male high school seniors who, you know, decide where to spend all of their parents' money. Colleges don't have to put anything else in the brochure but the pictures of the hot girls at the water park. Now, for anyone who actually cares about the future of our great nation, the question is, why? Who is the genius that said, you know what would really motivate our students and set them apart in the academic world and also for hiring is, you know, to give them a lazy river on campus? Who said this? We're now even removing our students' need for creative problem solving when it comes to recreation and procrastination. No, I don't know. What am I going to do? Don't worry. The water park is right here. Don't waste the brain cells on trying to figure out how you can screw off. Many of these water park colleges are public universities, originally built on the premise that educated citizens are a vital piece to a democratic society. But now college administrations and trustees are way more concerned with building their university brand than maintaining any kind of public trust. So they're turning colleges into an all-inclusive resort. Auburn University's water park has a giant paw print-shaped hot tub. Oh, it can accommodate 45 students. Gee, there's nothing going to be going on in the water park that maybe shouldn't be going on, right? And I'm sure everybody's going to have their homework done. The lazy river at Louisiana State University spells out LSU. Texas Tech has a water park. It has Wi-Fi. I mean, you got to stay connected when you're in the water park. The indoor water park at the University of Missouri features a grotto modeled after the one at the Playboy Mansion. Isn't that great? Booker T. Washington would be so proud. Most of these projects are paid for by raising the student activity fees on top of the regular tuition. Tuition and fees at a public four-year college has grown 60% since George Bush was in office. Not the first one, the second one. Which begs the question of Bernie Sanders and the Democrats. How on earth are you supposed to make college free? Especially with the lazy river. And how do you get anybody to go to college without the water park?
It's Wednesday, January 10th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I noticed in your predictions you didn't call that one, water parks at colleges.
No, in fact, but it does make it easier to, on my so-called predictions, I can just change it to, we're all doomed. How's that prediction?
Yeah, that's that one's still
we're
probably
all
there.
There's
a certain strain of we're all doomed running through many of these. Not all, though.
No, not necessarily all of them. Today we're looking at the predictions, and I want to make this really clear. I've never made predictions before. I have.
Wait a minute. No, I'm not going to let you get away with that. You've definitely made a zillion predictions before. A zillion of them. You've never made annual,
like,
start
like
of the
this.
Year.
Yeah, I've right. never made it like this. When I say something, it's usually because I just feel it in my bones. You know, the caliphate is coming. I just knew that it was coming. I've never sat down, you know, during the holiday and said, okay, what do I. This is not a prediction. This is more of a forecast. How's that?
Right. Like, this is, you can't schedule the type of predictions you usually make.
Yes.
Right? Like, right. It comes with a lot of thought. It comes with inspiration. It comes with all sorts of different things.
More inspiration than thought. This came with a lot of thought and no general inspiration.
No inspiration at all. And so you can go to glenbeck.com. And yesterday was politics. Today is foreign affairs. The predictions for 2018 that you've decided just to come out. And I would, if you're a sports like talk fan, a sports radio fan, you kind of recognize this almost as bold takes. Like, it's, you're kind of like going out on a limb a little bit. This is not you just saying.
It's not me saying, you know what, put your money here.
Right.
This is me saying, you know what, I could see this happening in the next 12 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see what you have predicted. And it's interesting to see how the audience has sort of reacted to it.
Okay, so are the foreign affairs, are those up?
Yeah, they're up to vote for now. So the idea is you vote for it if you think it's going to come true.
So so should we start at the least, what the audience has said is the least? Are there enough votes there yet?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously yesterday was the day we did the politics one.
Okay.
I will tell you that that poll showed the least likely thing to happen, as Hillary Clinton and Umo Abedin will be charged with crimes.
Right. Well, I did say, Bitcoin at $1 million is more likely to happen on that one. But
and you kind of go through, like, the most likely political was the freedom movement will experience somewhat of a renaissance, both U.S. and globally. I don't know if that's wishful thinking, but 23% of people said that was the most.
Tomorrow, can we get to that? What's happening with Trump? And what I talked to you about earlier this morning about Cass Sunstein, would you write that down so we talk about that tomorrow?
Cass Sunstein, yep.
Because it is really kind of like the freedom movement's going to have a resurgence. Yeah, are you agreeing with that because it makes you feel good, or because it's really happening?
Right.
You know,
because
I mean,
it is one of those things that we like. We tend to believe the things that we like.
We like. Right. And there's this new study out from London that's really fascinating.
It is.
We'll get to that tomorrow.
So the votes are very early. We just posted this at glenbeck.com. Okay. But I can give them to you in that order if you want. You want to start with the least likely?
Yeah, least likely.
Least likely. As part of the larger Brexit and other independence movements in Europe, the EU will seek and likely enter into a broad free trade agreement. Participating nations will include the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., as well as other Western-aligned powers globally, including Japan and South Korea. This will be done by EU leaders to try to stave off independence movements in Spain, Italy, and other EU member countries. As that one could just be that they care the least about that one.
Yeah, it could be.
Right.
It could be.
It's a trade prediction.
Yeah.
It's an EU prediction.
And what it is because I do think that we are so close to collapse, and there is this freedom movement that is going on, and you look at countries like Italy, it's not in good shape. It's really not in good shape. And there's going to be people like Germany going, get them out of the EU. I don't want to pay for Italy, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're already paying for Greece. I'm not paying for Italy, too. And so there's going to be this movement inside to get out of the EU. And there's going to be a movement from both the countries saying, I want my freedom to make my own deals. And then there's also going to be the ones that are saying, I want them out. And so I think that they're going to try to play this game to where they can say, you can, you know, go ahead, make some deals here and there. This is way out on a limb.
Is another reason why they think it's the least likely thing to happen out of your predictions, because you're including the U.S. in a free trade agreement, which is essentially what Trump ran against. It would be surprising to see him enter that type of agreement.
Oh. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Sixth place, China will land a rover on the dark side of the moon.
I'm telling you that's going to happen.
People do not believe you,
well,
apparently.
It's going to happen.
At least early on.
Yeah.
We just talked to a NASA expert who said it's possible.
Yeah. So China's going to land a rover on the dark side of the moon. This is going to be claimed as a scientific mission. I don't think the astronaut believed me on you know what I was talking about, but I think that he said this is exactly what would happen if they do it, that they're going to have to launch a satellite in orbit over the moon, and that satellite will be able to transmit all of the information from the dark side of the moon back to Earth, because you can't get a radio signal or a satellite signal on the dark side of the moon because the moon's in the way. So it'll
problem.
Be the first time that somebody has put a satellite over the moon and communicate back and go to the dark side of the moon. I believe that they are doing this, as I say here, that they say this is a scientific mission, which it will be, but it is also their first step in controlling cislunar space, which is critical to national security. So that's number six, huh?
It is number six, and I think part of the reason why that's low is obviously Pink Floyd already predicted it.
Okay.
So that's another part of it. Number five, the return of the 12th Imam will be used by the leaders of Iran in a desperate attempt to hold on to and consolidate power.
This audience doesn't believe that?
I'm surprised. I mean, it's very early. These votes just started being cast.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to give you the day. We're going to review your votes tomorrow on this. But I mean, they just started being cast.
Okay. So let me give you this.
This
whole
is
thing.
Not your. I think maybe they may be saying, well, the 12th Imam's going to return.
I'm not saying that.
No, you're saying they're going to claim it.
They're already saying that the 12th Imam is back and walking among them. They're already saying that. Okay. So what I'm saying is. I'm not saying you're going to see or meet the 12th Imam or that he's even real. What I'm saying is to quell the mob, they're going to appeal to the uber religious and they're going to say the 12th Imam is here. They're going to use him in any way possible in a desperate attempt to hold on and to consolidate power. They will begin to prepare the religious fanatics for a bloody and bloodthirsty war, which will in time engulf the entire Middle East. And it will mainly happen between Turkey and Iran at first. Those are the two competing powers. Combined in an ongoing conflict against Saudi Arabia and a wider Arab League, Iran will be considerably weakened internally while dealing with these internal conflicts in 2018, reducing their overall influence regionally and globally, and look for an attempt to start a new Arab Spring the week of the first day of spring in Iran, because it is also the Persian New Year.
That could be a big one. I mean, any unrest there can turn into a lot more. The third biggest one is one we actually got a preview of during our Christmas party, during a speech you made at the Christmas party.
Yeah, a holiday.
Yeah, I mean, when you're thinking, stockings, you've got people roasting chestnuts, doing Christmas carols, and then obviously you throw in the organ harvesting.
Right.
Which is kind of related. Number three is persecution of Christians, gays, non-Muslim, religious minorities, and those Muslims not deemed Muslim enough will reach new lows for humanity in the Middle East, including potentially the harvesting of organs, which, again, if that doesn't make you want, Christmas candy cane, I don't know what does.
So here's the rest of this. Turkey will continue to turn towards religious fascism and will continue to make hard turns towards Sharia law. They're going to continue to march toward a new caliphate or a new Ottoman Empire. The Kurds are going to be the biggest target. What will come out of the next few years is going to resemble the Germans and the Poles in the Ottomans, the Germans with the Poles or the Ottomans in the 1918 genocide. I think you're going to see genocide with the Kurds and also the Christians and everybody else. It's going to be ugly.
Now, a lot of these predictions you've gone out on a limb on. This one I cannot give you credit for. Cultural clashes between immigrants and natives will cause a backlash from the public across Western Europe. I mean, isn't that already happening?
Yeah.
You think it's going to get worse?
Yes, it's going to get worse because listen to the rest of it. Even though Russia and Putin's meddling in the elections and the affairs of other Western countries will be made more clear, the press and the governments of the world will ignore this until it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the interesting things of the Fusion GPS transcripts that were released recently. I mean, both sides are just protecting their political argument with the questions. None of them are taking the Russian threat seriously. And like we've said over and over, this is not about Donald Trump. It's not about Hillary Clinton. It's about Russia and what they're trying to accomplish. And the questioning to the Fusion GPS representatives was much less about that and much more about, well, don't you mean that Donald Trump's innocent? Don't you mean that Hillary Clinton didn't do anything wrong? And it's like, well, that is a part that we're all fascinated by, I guess, but really of limited value when you compare it to what Russia is attempting around the world and here.
So the same thing is going on. We're just not paying attention to this right stories. Yesterday, I had one of the big movers and shakers in Silicon Valley. It came into the office and met with me yesterday for about 2 hours. We had a fascinating conversation. I effectively begged, can we tape this? Fascinating conversation. And it basically was on that kind of topic, people are not aware of what is really happening and what's really important. What's right around the corner, how things are going to dramatically change, and no one is really talking about it. We'll get into that because we have some tech things too, but that's the same thing. Nobody's talking about the real issue, and the real issue is, what the hell is Russia doing?
We have more predictions coming up. The number one overall prediction that the audience so far has voted for from Foreign Affairs of 2018. You can get the list at glenbeck.com. And you can see the ones from yesterday, which was about politics. And you can get the entire list if you just sign up to the new email newsletter, and they'll send you the whole thing, which is kind of cool.
Glenn Beck.
All right. The forecast. I've never done this before, where I take and look at foreign affairs, the economy, high tech, health, everything else, and then break it up and then come up. I came up with 40 different things that I think could happen this year. And it's really kind of more of a sport than anything else. But if you would like to vote on which ones you think are likely and unlikely, you can do that at glenbeck.com. Just look for my predictions for 2018. Foreign affairs is today. We're covering some because of something that happened in China. We're kind of going to cover the economy today at 5 o'clock on the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, you have so there's a bunch of ways you can get this. Go to glenbeck.com and vote. Right now, the number one, and this is going to change for me, but number one is Turkey will continue to turn towards religious fascism and will continue to make hard turns towards Sharia law. That's a scary possibility because they're a real power there. This is not just, you know, some, you know, small group doing something that's that we don't like. This is a big, powerful pseudo ally of us over the past few years. They've been part of the hope of the Middle East at times, and that seems to be fading away.
Yeah, they're not an ally. They're not an ally.
But increasingly, right? I mean, like, if you would have said this 10 years ago, you might have been much more optimistic about the future of Turkey.
Yes.
The past few years.
I've never thought that they belonged in NATO, but I was hopeful because of the way their constitution was set up.
And they were helpful early in the war on terror in some ways. I mean, it hasn't been complete, but it does seem like they're taking a turn towards the dark side.
The entire world is going to take a turn towards the dark side. And when you see these connected with the economic forecast, you will understand why. You'll see that the economic forecast is going to be dicey. I mean, it's weird because as tonight I'll talk about it at 5 o'clock. I believe we are going to go into a melt up, which could take, you know, 24 months. I think we're already in the beginning of it. Dow 25,000. I think we're at the beginning of it. And I think we are going to see, we could see the Dow at 50,000 in 2 years. I think I put on my prediction that Dow 30,000 by the end of 2018. I think it could be higher than that myself. I think it could be 35. But that'll be part of the melt up, and it'll be really critical that you understand that. And we'll talk
Glenn
about that tonight, 5
Beck.
O'clock, only on TheBlaze.com.
This is the Glenn Beck program.
All right, can you keep it down? I'm trying to watch my new favorite show on Netflix.
By the way,
have you seen The Marvelous Miss Maisel?
No, but it won a Golden Globe.
Two.
And you were the only person I've ever heard mention it.
It
so
is fantastic. It is hysterical. It is so well done.
Really?
It's one of my favorite shows. Yeah. Really.
I had never heard of it until they won the Golden Globes the other night.
Really good.
And
I've been telling you guys for about a year.
That's a great show. It's a great show.
Yeah,
we've been ignoring you for about a good year.
That's how things happen with Glenn. Is like he'll mention something a few times, and I'll ignore him, And then eventually someone else with credibility will mention
it. Yeah, I know. And then you'll be like, oh,
wow,
that's
hey, wow,
can you guys
try
keep
that?
It down? Because I'm trying to watch my new favorite. My new favorite show, which is W1A.
I've never heard of that.
Never heard
so
of that.
So I'm going to ignore it for now.
This, I know.
Until
but
it wins a
it will
girl.
Win right. something, and mm-hmm. then you'll be like, oh, this W1A thing. This is...
Do you watch anything without an English accent?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's illegal in your home, I thought.
No. But W1A is, I can't believe, it's from the BBC, and I can't believe they actually made it, because it's mocking the BBC. And I mean...
Oh, wow.
Hard mockery. And it shows these television and news people just being total frauds that they are, that no one really is saying anything. It's probably double the script, double the lines, you know, word count than any other show I've seen.
It's like an Aaron Sorkin sort of pacing.
Yeah. Really fast. Mm-hmm. And you realize, you get to the end of scenes and you're like, they didn't say anything to each other. I mean, you know how Seinfeld was a show about nothing?
Mm-hmm.
This one is showing how people in business are so full of crap that they all just placate each other and nothing is ever done. It's really funny. W1A. Anyway,
sounds good.
Okay, so Pat.
Yes.
I only am watching these things because, woo,
news. Watching reality drives you out of your mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on Donald Trump and his and the show yesterday.
It was a darker day yesterday. I've been so complimentary, I think, of Trump lately, that when I was filling in for you on the show last week, somebody called and accused me of completely flipping on him and his character. And my point was, I haven't been talking about his character. I've been talking about his accomplishments, which are pretty impressive in the first year. When you take into account the Supreme Court Justice, Neil Gorsuch, and the EPA regulations he's gotten rid of, and the Paris Accord he got us out of, as well as the TPP treaty, you know, he gave land back to states like Utah. He has overseen huge gains against ISIS. That war is almost won. Declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel, which I never expected.
There's a collection here. Most of it really is on the executive side, right? Stuff that he can just do.
Yes.
But that's still all
he's
he can
He's cut the size of government.
For.
He's gotten rid of a lot of government jobs. You know, Nikki Haley has been one of the best UN representatives of all time.
We have opened up
drilling in Anwar.
We have taxes down.
No taxes individual are down. Mandate.
Yes.
Part of the tax plan.
Some really good things.
There's been some good things.
And then yesterday.
Wait. But I think what you were trying to say there was that has nothing to do with the danger and the trouble that he has caused.
The things that we warned about during the campaign.
The divide and the hatred and the back and forth, the baby stuff, the Twitter stuff.
And we've all begged him, stay off of Twitter, please.
Stop it.
By all that's holy,
honestly,
stay off Twitter.
An interesting thought experiment for people who like Trump is if he stopped tweeting today. If he stopped tweeting today, would any person who is a supporter of Donald Trump abandon him?
No.
Would there be one person?
Absolutely not.
It's all upside. Yeah. All upside with him stopping that. Because there's a lot of people, I had the same sort of thought at one point where I was like, oh, this and this was, you know, it's really good. And then the next day he's tweeting about how he's like a genius. And I'm like, ah, this is so ridiculous.
Yes.
It's hard to connect with him.
It's embarrassing to be able to sit down with people and say, hey, he's really accomplished some good stuff. Because they can't, the average person cannot get past a very stable genius. Shut up.
If you're a stable genius, you don't need to say it.
I've never met a very stable genius who had to point out he was a very stable genius.
You don't do that.
So, for instance,
have I ever said it?
No. No, and you are one, as we know, as we've covered.
And I've never tweeted it.
So disregard that very stable genius thing that I just said. That apparently is completely
wrong. And one of the worst I've ever seen happened the other day when he tweeted out about the Michael Wolff book. Now, I know he was hacked off. He was really upset. But this stuff, just, you can't do it as president. Michael Wolff is a total loser who made up stories in order to sell this really boring and untruthful book. He used sloppy Steve Bannon, who cried when he got fired and begged for his job. Now sloppy Steve has been dumped like a dog by almost everyone. I can't go with you there. I can't.
Well, when he's beat up on Bannon, I don't mind it that much.
I'm with Pat. I want to beat on Bannon. Yeah.
I do too,
not
but not
as the president.
Right. Not like that.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Not like that.
People always say, you know, that he needs to have that to be able to push back and fight back. And I think that's a legitimate use of Twitter when you're fighting back. It's just the way he does it. It's hard to. I mean, he's been better on policy than I expected. And we said that 100 times on the air. I mean, that's
until yesterday, a lot better.
Yeah. Yesterday was a big day.
Yesterday's a bad day, a really bad day for him, and I'm afraid he showed his true colors yesterday, because we said all along, the guy's, he's not conservative. When has he ever been conservative on even the border, which was supposedly his strongest issue? I heard somebody on the way in today describe him as the best conservative immigration guy in the history of the country. I'm like, no, he's not.
Coming off of DACA, the DACA day, you're saying that?
Yeah. Jeez. Well, that's why he was disappointed today, because he thought that until now.
Okay, he's talked a good game.
He's talked a good game.
But he's also talked for longer in the opposite way.
Right.
So
Which you had to pay attention to.
Who he is, I don't know. I mean, my wife and I were watching this last night, and she just said, wait, he is asking for the wall, but he's just talking about how cheap it's going to be. I thought it was free. I thought Mexico was going to pay for it. You know, she brought that back.
Yeah. And not only that, but he's backtracked on building a wall across the entire border, which was the thing initially. He was going to build the big, beautiful wall with the big, beautiful door so illegal people can come through it, but illegals would be kept out. Well, that's not what they're even talking about anymore. Now they're talking about a wall system.
Yeah,
they're saying the same things that Democrats have always said. There's places you can't build a wall or a fence. The terrain is too ragged. We don't need it in certain places. You can use sensors. It's problematic because if you really wanted to, you could secure that border. And I don't think that's what we're talking about now. I think they've changed their mind on it, or now they're really showing who they've been all along.
Yeah, and we famously said that we would eat our underwear, Pat.
If he built
90% of the wall.
90%.
And there's no chance.
There's no danger of that at all.
They're not even.
Well, this is why we got 5% of the fencing from under Obama. 5%. Well, that's not even close to what you need to do. Of the 2,000 miles, you probably need at least 1,200.
I would agree with that.
1,200.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Now, are we going to get 1,200 miles of wall?
No way.
It's just not going to happen.
We maybe get another 5%.
And now they're using the term comprehensive immigration reform, which is amnesty. And we've all been opposed to that for forever.
And the DACA and the Dreamers thing, which is also the same thing.
During the campaign, he said they've got to go.
Yeah.
Even when pushed by Chuck Todd, he's like, "No, well, you're going to separate families? No, they can stay together if they want to. Well, just not here." Right. But there's no right for everybody in the world to live here. I don't know if you're aware of that. There's no right for every citizen of this planet to be here.
It's one fascinating thing about the immigration debate that I've never really understood is I think it's the only legal issue, the only crime committed in which we give more leniency to people who have done it longer.
Right.
If you came here 20 years ago and you've been here for 20 years breaking the law, then we can't do anything to you. But if you just came across the border, we'll push you back. It's like, well, they've done it for a longer period of time. They've broken the law. If you are stealing money from your company for a really long period of time as opposed to a really short period of time.
Yeah, we don't want to stop you now.
No, you've been doing it.
It's their way of life. You're used to that money now.
He's used to that lifestyle.
We've been stealing from Glenn for 15 years. He doesn't want us to stop now.
It's ridiculous.
No, well, I feel
my
bad.
My family might starve if I stop stealing from him.
I feel bad. Pat has been embezzling since 1994.
We can't.
And but I can't stop that
his
now.
His children expect it now.
They depend on it.
Are you going to send me to jail and separate my family?
His children aren't going to be able to go to school if he's not embezzling from me.
That's exactly what it is.
So what do you think is going to happen? Because we took a poll of the audience today, and we just listened to him, watched Twitter and took a lot of phone calls, and it split. and it is split, and I would say probably leaning towards, no, this is a John Roberts game. He is just negotiating. This is what's happening. He's just
Heaven help us. Oh, how I wish that was it. No, that's not what's happening. Do you know what he said? You guys decide, and I'll sign whatever you decide.
That's the most honest thing.
Is that a
thing.
Game? That's the most honest thing he's ever
Absolutely
said.
But we've said that.
Bring me whatever it is.
Yeah, the Republicans.
We've said
that
to the
that.
Republicans. He'll sign it. Just send it to him.
Obamacare repeal. He'll sign anything you give to him, and because he wants that win of Obamacare repeal,
yep.
You should look at that as a positive. Tax reform. Why didn't you go
bold?
He wants
that win.
Why not? If you could have passed, a 10% flat tax, and you would have signed it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like one of these presidents is going to push back on those details. He just wanted the tax plan passed.
Can you please?
He would have signed anything.
Sarah, please play the cut where he is talking to the leaders of Congress and saying, "I trust you."
My positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with. I am very much reliant on the people in this room. I know most of the people on both sides. I have a lot of respect for the people on both sides. And what I approve is going to be very much reliant on what the people in this room come to me with. I have great confidence in the people. If they come to me with things that I'm not in love with, I'm going to do it because I respect them.
What?
That's agonizing to me. That is agonizing.
That should be horrifying. Really, to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
To both sides. Wait a minute. I don't trust Congress. None of us trust Congress.
No.
None of us. Neither side trusts Congress.
Right.
And then he went on to say, and by the way, you guys should put earmarks back in. What? That's the swamp. You're saying, bring me, I will sign, even if I disagree with it. He went on later to say, mm-hmm. I will take the heat for it. So he'll run cover for Congress, just send it to me. And by the way, you should add earmarks into it.
Good God.
What?
Yeah. It was a bad day yesterday.
Yeah, bad day.
Yeah.
Does he turn around?
No.
You think he makes this a deal?
I think this is the deal.
Yeah. And bringing Democrats in, which he thought was critical, I think is a disaster. Why? Why bring them in? We've got the majority and the White House. Why? They wouldn't do it with us. And anything they're going to come up with is not going to be good. Sorry, I got no confidence in that.
We already have those guys. We have Mitch McConnell there.
I know.
We already have that point of view.
Right.
Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program. Very glad you're here today. Let's talk about the new soda tax in Seattle.
I love this, and I love what Costco has done. Let me praise Costco for a minute. The story's up on theblaze.com, and you need to check it out. You need to see the pictures of this. But they basically have, instead of just putting up the price, like for example, 36 cans of Dr. Pepper are now $17.55.
That's crazy.
At Costco. Now, that's a pretty high price for Costco, right? Well, normally you say, wow, Costco's raping its customers. What are they doing? Well, when you look at what Costco has done with their labels, they've now pointed out exactly what's going on. They are selling the soda for $9.99, but the Seattle tax is adding $7.56, and then other, you know, different things, you know, add up to $17.55. Gatorade, $15.99 is what Costco wants to sell it for, but the tax adds $10.34. What's that, 67%? To the price, which costs brings the total cost to $26.33.
This hasn't worked anywhere.
No.
Anywhere.
Nope. It's chasing businesses. It's chasing jobs. It's hurting the average person.
Isn't it always repealed? Has it ever lasted very long anywhere?
It's still lasting in some of these cities, but it's just been a disaster. Yeah. It was $1.75 per ounce on sugary drinks in the under the auspices that it was going to stop obesity, which has never proved to do.
So now your restaurants are getting hit yet again. The price of going out to dinner in Seattle, if you have a soda, you have a cocktail, through the roof. Plus, you have to have, what is it, a $15 minimum wage at the restaurants in Seattle. The restaurants, food service, if you're a food provider in Seattle, you're dying. How do you keep your doors open? Progressivism at its best.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.